The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones that you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/Florio and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Florio, F-L-O-R-I-O. Thanks for your help.
Well, wasn't that long ago he was taking a Tuesday off during the season to go to a Twins playoff game. There's Kirk Cousins throwing out the first pitch. We haven't seen video of the first pitch.
Wow.
And by the way, he was not on the mound. We've seen a lot of guys on the mound.
Disappointed there.
This April.
Disappointed.
Get up on the mound, Kirk. Get up on the mound.
You're a pro quarterback. Get on the mound. A year to throw an object, and we can't throw the object from where we're supposed to throw the object. I'm disappointed. I really am.
Now, Russell Wilson. Now, look. Russell Wilson was a professional baseball player, or at least aspired to be.
That's how it's supposed to go right there.
There he is. With his glove, baby.
I love it.
With his glove. You got to have the glove at the baseball game because you never know when a foul ball is going to come your way. But he's up on the mound, and he's firing his strike. He's a professional baseball player, and he showed it.
Yeah, that's right. He brought it a little bit. I like it. I like him embracing and bringing the glove, going through the whole windup, throwing a strike. That's pretty cool. Whoa, this is hilarious. That was like he almost missed that huge box 4 feet away from it.
That was a gender reveal for his first son. He's got two boys. The dog is over there huffing the blue fumes.
Yeah.
Get the dog away.
Seriously.
What the heck? Sparky wants the blue gas. That was not my idea, Kirk. We still love you. I still wish you were with the Vikings. We're just having some fun, but...
He's probably like worried about his Achilles on the mound and the dirt.
That's true.
And all that, right?
That's
you
true.
Don't slip.
That would be something.
That would really be something.
If he re-blows out his Achilles on the mound at a Braves game before they even start his first season with the Falcons, that would be a problem.
Wait, and also, did you notice the chain he's got on? I mean, now Kirko Chains is he sporting ice? He's sporting the piece and chain. Like, no matter what now, he's embraced it. Look at that. Look at that right there. What does that say on there? So they just gave him a chain. It's not a real one. Okay. All right.
Go back to the last one. I think he looks different with that hat on. It's like the hat's too big for his head or something. It doesn't look like him, does it?
Well, it does. It is.
With that
it's probably
hat on?
A hair big. It's probably a hair big on him.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right about that. But, I thought he was wearing something that was
if that's
real.
Even him.
You know,
Kirk Cousins,
funny.
If that's even him.
You're funny.
All right. Dak Prescott, it definitely was him at a charity event over the weekend talking about his contract situation. And just a quick summary. 4 years ago, it was three years ago, he did a 4-year, $160 million deal. He's in the last year, astronomical cap number. There's no way the Cowboys can keep him from hitting the open market next year. They can't tag him. They either sign him or he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Here's Dak talking about his contract status with the Cowboys.
Did you like your deal done by the start of the season?
Honestly, I'm focused on the moment, on the now. Leaving that up to my agent and Jerry at this point. And when those talks begin, I'll be more involved, obviously. So
no talks. Are you surprised that no talks have happened?
No, I mean, I've been in conversation. I've talked to Jerry, and so I understand where we are, obviously. And Jerry's mentioned the same, so there's not any gray area in that sense. So, yeah.
He talked to you about the cap and all the situations and why they're not doing it.
We had a great conversation.
Do you want to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? Do you view it differently? What's your philosophy toward it?
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be the highest paid necessarily. So I'll wait until negotiations begin, and obviously want to put this team in the best situation.
Not trying to be the highest paid necessarily. Look, the bottom line is he's exerting his leverage, and he should. If Jerry was in the situation Dak Prescott is in, he would be exerting his leverage. Jerry made his billions by exerting his leverage every time, every place, in every circumstance that he could. That's the irony of this. Jerry Jones has had people over a barrel his entire life, and he has taken full advantage of it when he has. Dak Prescott has the Cowboys over a barrel, all because the Cowboys waited too long to sign him the first time around, and they waited too long this time around. And look, you can try to make Dak look greedy, like he's being unreasonable. I remember when the Giants did this to Eli Manning, when his looming franchise tag number, if you do the deal the way that you should, it makes him the highest paid player in football, and they leaked that in a pejorative sense. Like, he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in football. Well, that's the way the numbers work. And you look at Dak's situation, you look at the leverage he has, maybe that's the way the numbers work. You know, this isn't about what you deserve. This is about what you can get.
Yeah.
And he's in a position where if the Cowboys want him, they want to keep him off the open market, that's what he can get. And if they want to let him go to the open market, then let's see. You know, all it takes is one team. Falcons were willing to open the vault for Kirk Cousins. And if Dak Prescott's available next March, maybe somebody else out there will give him a market level deal.
It's hovering over that organization. I mean, again, it's the, you know, least sexy offseason of any team in football. That's a major team that we look as a contender.
All in.
And yeah,
we're all in.
And that's all because of these contract situations, and they've done nothing to improve their football team to this point. And, I mean, just by all due accounts right there, like, hey, Dak Prescott, that was a long pause when he got asked. He looks a little annoyed that he's got to talk about this and do this, right? But, like, you talk about your pasta and meatballs and all that, too. I mean, again, I don't know where this goes. We know Dak is really good. He's got them over a barrel, like you said. They're in a tough spot. I'm all for him trying to maximize his position through having them over the barrel, right? I'm all for that. But it does feel like pasta and meatballs that I don't know. It doesn't feel like Dallas is going to make him the highest paid player and just go, okay, well, we don't have a quarterback. We need you. We're just going to give you whatever you want. It feels like this might play out, and it might go into the scenario that you're talking about being a free agent and see what the market is and go that route. I don't know. The longer we go, the more I kind of feel like that's the direction this whole thing's going here.
It's a very high-stakes game of chicken.
Yeah.
And I think the Cowboys ultimately will come down on the side of, let's see if someone else will offer him enough more than what we're offering to let him walk away from the inherent value of wearing the silver helmet with
right.
the blue star
and a place
on
that
it.
Likes you.
That's
and you're proven
key.
And they know you and all that stuff we always talk about, right, Mike? I mean, I think there's all value in that. That's risky to give away as a quarterback.
But let's remember,
yeah,
as it relates to properly rewarding their star players, the Cowboys are cheap, short-sighted, and not as smart as they think they are. And I took a deep dive. I did the origin story on the whole all-in thing. I went back to the Senior Bowl press availability, found the half-hour press conference, found the spot where Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram actually teased Jerry up on the question of going all-in. And using the term in the normal sense that we always knew all-in meant, moving the chips into the middle of the table. And Jerry's answer, he uses all-in 6 or 7 times, and he's clearly saying that's what they're going to do. They're going to address the contracts with the guys they have, and then they're going to go all in. Well, where are we 3 months later? They haven't addressed the contracts. with the guys they have. And that's what they're saying now. Well, we can't. We have to take care of these contracts. Oh, and we're all in every year. We max out the salary cap every year. Again, they've defined all in as everything but what it means and what it meant when Jerry coined that term, although he didn't really coin it. He adopted it from Clarence Hill. That's what he did. And they're in a mess. And it just reinforces my position that this is about keeping the Cowboys relevant, keeping them popular, and keeping them profitable. If it was about truly going all in and trying to win a championship, they would have taken care of these things by now.
Well, it's a hard one. And you know, there's a lot of good that the Joneses do, right? I mean, we've talked about this. They do have an eye for,
yes,
you know, right? They do have an eye for talent. Right, the Cowboys haven't been the Cowboys the last few years, not because they lack like studs on the field. We know that. But there's one thing that's clear through this that you're alluding to is that they have not been with the best with the cap or foreseeing the future, period. And that like feels like really for the last 17, 18 years, it feels like every, I don't know, 4 years, every 3 years, they kind of go through this where it's like, whoa, we have to just take our hands off the wheel here and let the cap fix itself a little bit because we did some bad contracts or whatever else. And it feels like this is kind of like the normal course here. And, yeah, they're in a very tough spot as we sit here right now.
Puts more pressure on them to have a great draft this year and get some players who can come in and make a difference right away. And, look, I think the reset after this year, if this all blows up in their face, if they don't go all in, and they can't go all in until they address these other contracts. If they don't win the division, if they don't make the playoffs, next year the pitch will be, we got Bill Belichick. I think all of this makes it more likely that they make a beeline for Bill Belichick to be the coach of the team next year, because then the pitch next year will be, we've got the greatest coach of all time, and we've got a team that's still pretty damn good, and we're going to polish off the other pieces we need, and let's ride for a few years and see what Bill Belichick can do. I think that's why they're kind of treading water now, even though they claimed they were going to go all in. Another issue with Dak Prescott that can't be ignored. This started in a very unconventional way. He received a standard demand letter from a lawyer who has a client. It's two lawyers. Their client claims that there was a sexual assault committed by Dak Prescott in February of 2017. They sent him a letter basically saying, we want to settle the claims without filing suit. They had a problem at first. They couldn't file suit for sexual assault because the statute of limitations had expired. Dak responded to the whole thing by suing all of them first, the lawyer, the lawyers, and the client for extortion. Dak Prescott filed a criminal complaint. The alleged victim of the sexual assault files a criminal complaint. Prescott has cooperated with authorities, met with them last week. Let's hear quickly from Prescott when he was asked about the sexual assault lawsuit that has since been filed against him.
How should I address that? I know the truth. I'm confident in what we filed, very confident in what we filed. I know some things have changed in their sense and where they filed, but that doesn't have any weighing on what we're doing and how we're going about our lawsuit.
And you're confident thank that's you, not going to affect no. your negotiations?
Thank you, has nothing to do with it.
The question at the end, you're confident that has nothing to do with the contract negotiations, and the Cowboys have already said it has nothing to do with it. Now, look, we'll see how this all plays out. And somebody needs to tell Dak, just say it's that my lawyers are handling it. No one's going to criticize him. Everybody says that all the time. Teams say it all the time. It's pending, and the lawyers have told me not to talk about it. He could have done the same thing with the pause and the do I want to be the highest paid? Not necessarily. Hey, my agent's handling it. My agent's handling my contract. Lawyers handling the lawsuit. I handle the football. My life's easier that way. And then you don't have these sound bites that can be interpreted in a bunch of different ways. So, you know, and look, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this happened that Dak didn't do that, because I think the basic advice that the people around him should be giving him is, on your contract, defer to the agent. On the lawsuit, defer to the lawyer. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be the smartest approach, right? Just to, you know, not risk you saying something that you know, like you said, it shows intention or, you know, gives a glean into your feelings, whatever it is there. But, yeah, this is definitely, you know, another annoyance here with the Cowboys, the fact that they have to go through this with Dak Prescott too. And, Mike, I bring to you because I saw the article you wrote, right, and his countersuing of the, you know, the accuser and all of that. Right now, like, I want you to explain, did this open the books a little bit or open the door for him to now be, you know, retried through this allegation? Explain it to me, because I saw what you wrote on Saturday or Sunday, and I found that kind of interesting.
And this was amazing to me because I was not even aware of this overall concept that if you are somebody who could be sued, but it's too late for the suit to be brought, if they would sue you, your top defense would be the applicable statute of limitations has expired. And every state has different time periods that apply to different types of lawsuits where you've got to file it. And if you don't file it in time, you can't file it. You can, right. But then the defense is you waited too long. It's a defense that has to be asserted by the person who's sued, but it's a no-brainer. Oh, you sued me, you know, X years after it happened, the statute's expired, the case should be dismissed, and the case gets dismissed. The twist is this, and it comes from a specific provision of Texas law as it relates to the claims that get made when the person who would be sued with the lawsuit that is too late sues the person first.
So that ends the statute of limitations, basically, what you're saying there.
It waives the defense based upon how this law is written. Now, the argument's going to be that the extortion claim that this person is being sued for by Dak Prescott is sufficiently separate and distinct from the sexual assault claim. But the argument would be, well, it's all part of the same thing. The extortion flows from the alleged sexual assault. You've opened the door to everything by making this into a piece of litigation by suing the alleged victim of the sexual assault. You've now opened the door for her to make her counterclaim against you that would otherwise have been barred by the statute of limitations. And I'm curious about that. I don't think they'd ever admit this. I sent the lawyer's assistant a question to this effect over the weekend. I mean, I didn't frame it this way, but my question really is, did you know about this?
Right.
And deliberately proceed anyway, strategically, Did you just not know about it? Because I didn't know about it. I never heard about it. I mean, they don't teach us in civil procedure when I was in law school, that's for sure. And maybe it's unique to Texas. I don't know if it happens anywhere else. But it's something that all lawyers should be aware of. Be careful, because you may open the door to your client getting sued for something that otherwise would be barred by the statute of limitations if your client goes forward with that lawsuit against somebody who could be suing him.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm interested to know, too. Was that a tactical decision or a, like, oh, crap, we didn't realize that was part of this process and we've messed up and now we've opened up Pandora's box for a lot of issues, and you know about Pandora's box. She's in there. She causes problems.
There's a lot of Pandora in there.
Cowboys got their hands full. Dak Prescott's got his hands full. And to your point, they're staying very relevant in the news. They are doing that.
All I know is this, and it fortunately did not happen to me very often when I was practicing law.
Right.
Nothing strikes fear in the heart of a lawyer more than learning you didn't know after you did the thing that you wish you would have known the thing you knew, especially when it relates to something that is in the law. It's one thing to find out a fact too late. It's another thing, the law's on the books and you didn't know about it. Uh-oh, it's time to call up the malpractice carrier and make sure that your premium is paid up. All right, let's take a break. And again, that did not happen to me very often. I can count it on. It has nothing to do with winding
you're
that
probably
life down.
Just
it's
in
funny.
Prime time, you just choke a little, so you probably didn't know those things. You're a 1 p.m. lawyer.
You would be amazed at how many people think I'm in this job because I failed as a lawyer. Folks, you have no idea. Every lawyer that is practicing law, that is litigating, that is fighting all the time, they want nothing more than to escape that penitentiary. You have golden handcuffs because it pays pretty well, but you are constantly fighting. You are constantly under stress. You are constantly putting out fires. It is always something. You are always fighting. You are always under pressure. You are always under stress. And your interests are someone else's that you're advancing. So getting out of that life is a great thing. Almost as good as getting out of this segment, because Pete is telling me to break and he's not being nice about it, which tells me we really need to break. More PFT Live right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
That's Garrett Wilson, if that's even him, catching passes from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
if
that's really him. RFK. That's RFK dressed up as Aaron Rodgers, just so you know.
That was off time. That was just a little. He had to reach back a little bit for that. They're still working on the timing. It's off season. He's reaching back a little bit. It's not exactly between the numbers. We'll give him the benefit
still
of the doubt.
Damn good, though.
Especially if that wasn't Aaron Rodgers. If they have trained an imposter to throw that way, they are doing a good job.
Yeah, damn, they got good quarterback coaches there in New York, if that's for sure, if they're teaching that right there. That ball looked good, though. I'll say that.
Phase three of the offseason program, OTAs, that's when players are required to be available. Now, some voluntarily spoke, like Josh Allen last week and others, but phase three is when, by rule, now the rules get ignored all the time, but I say all that because the next time Aaron Rodgers meets with the New York media, it's going to be interesting.
I think it's going to be
real
for the
first
time.
New York Times had an article about his conspiracy theories. I mean, it was kid gloves and softballs last year.
Yeah, it won't
this
be.
This year, it's going to be very different.
No,
he's going to be asked some questions he hasn't faced before.
I agree. I think it's definitely coming here. I think the honeymoon's over for one, and now that it went to another level and he's speaking his mind so freely on these subjects all the time, yeah, it's definitely it's in the news more up here in the Northeast, certainly. And I just don't think, I don't think there's any way that next time he's available that he gets away with it anymore. I don't. Now, when will they make him available? I don't think that's going to happen until they have to absolutely make it happen. Like, he's not talking anytime soon. I would guarantee that.
Phase three, the four-week OTA period, but they may try to stiff-arm the media then.
Right.
Because what are you going to do about it? It's not like the NFL is going to say, thou shalt do it. You just don't do it, and they complain, and then, then he comes in for training camp. I think the latest he's going to get away with it is the mandatory training camp availability. But the other side of it too, Chris, it's not just the people who rely on access and cooperation from the Jets and don't want to piss people off. And I understand it. Those folks have a job to do. If you're regarded as the jerk that asks the tough question, you don't get the interview request, they don't help you out, they make your life more miserable, and the next thing you know, you're on a different beat altogether. What about the people who don't cover football who want to come to that press conference? People from CNN, people from other news outlets.
That's where it's been opened up to.
People who are interested.
Right.
Yes. They're going to want to be there potentially. So we'll see. Joe Douglas, the GM of the team, was available last week. And one of the questions he was asked was about the guy who was going to be the heir to Aaron Rodgers until he played last year and it didn't go well. They're still holding on to Zach Wilson. Douglas was asked, are you optimistic the Wilson situation will be resolved by the end of the draft? Here's Douglas's answer.
So look, I know you guys talked to Woody about Zach, and I share my thoughts are in line with Woody that Zach is an asset. And at that same time, we're obviously open to trading Zach. There have been discussions. Nothing's really changed since we talked down in Florida. you know, we're open to trading him. There's just no news or report on that. And that's the magic trick, sort of, so to speak, is to try to make sure that Zach's in a good spot, but also doing what's right for the New York Jets.
Is there a chance that he could be back? And had you talked to him about that? Is that on the table?
We're still in April. I mean, training camp's months away. So, there's a chance for a lot of different things.
Wilson wasn't at the first week of the offseason program. He shouldn't be. He's not going to be part of the team unless they just decide they're going to be stubborn. If they don't get an acceptable trade offer during the draft or after the draft, they're going to hold on to him, make him third on the depth chart. He's got guaranteed pay of $5.4 million this year, fully guaranteed, subject to offset. The offset would be $1 million and some change if he would be released and he would go somewhere else. So the Jets would still end up paying him $4.4 million or thereabouts. So they are squatting on a guy that they call an asset, not a human being, an asset. And I guarantee you this, Chris, if the Jets had a top three pick this year and they were going to be taking a quarterback, they would have already traded Zach Wilson because just like the Bears, oh, we're going to give Justin Fields whatever he wants because we want Caleb Williams to think we'll take care of him if this thing doesn't work out. Look at the Patriots, who quite possibly would be taking quarterback unless they trade down. Oh, we traded Mac Jones for nothing to the Jaguars. We're going to take care of you if this thing doesn't work. And the Jets are squatting on an asset, and they better be careful because sooner or later they're going to be drafting in the top five again. And you don't want a scar from how you treated Zach Wilson to make a player not want to come play for you in the future because they remember what you did to the last guy who was a top two pick who didn't work out.
Yeah, listen, if they had a top five pick, he'd be released already, period, right? Nobody is going to trade for Zach Wilson. That's common sense. We all know that. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to trade for a guy that they're going to make the third quarterback on their roster and have to pay him, like you said, $4.4 million. That's not going to happen. That doesn't happen in the NFL. That's not a reality, right? That's why when they were asked, or Joe Douglas was asked, he bumbled and stumbled. I believe what Woody Johnson said already. I'm in line with him, right? I mean, because he's like, you know, in his mind, he's like, wait, we're never going to trade him, but here, let me get my thought out here. And the thought is, and obviously it has this feel, and I think you probably feel this way too. This is a Woody decision. Woody,
yes.
That's what it feels like. And again, Zach Wilson is extremely talented. We know that. Aaron Rodgers has told people, like, he throws the ball as good as anybody I've ever seen in my life, right? You know, but it's all the offensive coordinators. It's the losing of mechanics. It's not looking at the coverages the right way. All that stuff. He needs a new place, a new fresh start, all of that. I mean, that's what he needs. That's what he wants, right? But I think Woody, being the owner of the Jets for a long time, and, you know, he doesn't want to hear that horror story of, wait, some talented guy left their franchise and became something a few years later, right? To where I think he's scarred by that to a degree. So he's going to be a little stubborn here and hang on to a guy that he thinks has talent that they picked at the number two pick of the draft.
And it underscores the reality. And this is one of the things the owners generally don't want us talking about. For the same reason that Roger Goodell is a 60, 70, who knows how many million per year pincushion for all of the owners collectively, their internal pincushions are their coaches and general managers, except for Jerry Jones. Except for Jerry Jones. And maybe it's because he's just too cheap to hire a GM, but he at least wears the fact that he's pulling the strings. They're all, to some degree or another, pulling the strings. Woody Johnson pulling the strings on what they do with Zach Wilson. The story last week, Michael Bidwell pulling the strings on everything in Arizona. Everything in Arizona. He's running the show. Josh Harris more involved than anybody thought he would be. And look, I get it. It's your team. It's your team. And all these owners think that they're smart enough. It doesn't look that hard. I watch it on TV. I understand the game. I should be able to give some input. So they're involved. They're involved. Some more than others. But they're all involved. There isn't a single owner out there who's just saying to his football people, do whatever you want, spend whatever you want, draft whoever you want. You don't have to run it by me first. Baloney. They're all involved, except Green Bay, where there isn't really an owner. But even there, Mark Murphy, the CEO, is involved. And with this one, this is one where Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. Hey, Jets fans, why has your team stunk for 25 years? Because that's how long Woody Johnson has owned the team. He's the common thread. He's the source of the dysfunction. He's the reason this team can't get out of its own way. And none of the guys who currently work for Woody Johnson are willing to say so because they'll get fired. They're not going to say it, but it's really not a mystery. I mean, I look at it this way. When Woody Johnson, Chris, became the ambassador to the UK 6-7 years ago, and he handed the reins to his brother Christopher, the Jets' competitors in the AFC East got nervous because Christopher might be better than Woody and turn this team around. So that's part of the reality. And this thing, it's a mistake. Just write it off and cut the guy and move on. It's not going to help your team to keep him around, and it's not going to help you in the future when you're drafting a quarterback.
No, you know, I hear you there, right? You know, he needs a fresh start. We know that, right? I mean, they need to wash their hands of him to a degree. It is the year where, hey, I think he's in the right spot with the Jets if they keep him. Aaron Rodgers is there. Tyrod Taylor's there. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to be the backup, right, which is what they don't want. So we'll see where it goes, but it's not a bad situation as far as how it lays out with the Jets, other than that Tyrod Taylor's injury prone and Zach Wilson could end up in there quicker than they'd want if Aaron Rodgers went down.
Yeah, and that's the last thing they need is Zach Wilson on the field again. That's the last thing he needs for the Jets. He needs to go somewhere else. We need to take a break. When we return, you would not think on the surface that Bill Belichick and Mike McDaniel have anything in common, but there is one specific thing that we now know they do have in common. We'll tell you what it is next here on PFT.
They both think you're a jerk.
A lot of guys aren't used to that. A lot of guys aren't used to sitting inside of a meeting room, being the best player on their team their whole entire life, and then a coach saying, bro, you suck this play,
bro. You ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, this year, Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Like, the play against me, the Chiefs, everybody see the play against the Chiefs, one family to the floor, he called me out. He like, Reek, bro, you supposed to be the best player in the league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that. It's like, man, we pay you all this money for what? And for me, I love that, because I'm going to take that to heart, and I'm gonna get better from it. Obviously, the coaches can bypass that, you know what I'm saying, and just be like, he'll get better from it. But if he's not saying nothing, like, The other guys in the locker room, they're going to look at it as, oh, if Reek can do it, I can do it. And that's not getting the team better.
You know, first thing I thought when I watched that clip, and you didn't react to my text last night, because he's dropping F-bombs and MF-bombs and S-bombs, and little kid runs over, and I thought, kid's got to learn sometime.
Kid's got to learn sometime. Kid wants to be in a locker room someday. He's got to hear those words.
Now, look. What he was talking about was the play that we saw in the first half of the Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game played in an open-air meat locker in Kansas City where L'Jarius Sneed manhandled Tyreek Hill. Manhandled him. That happened in the second quarter. I'm assuming that Tyreek Hill got called out at halftime because it's not like he's going to call him out after the game. You don't do film study after a playoff loss. Everybody goes their separate ways.
No, didn't it happen in the regular season, though, too? Didn't it? Wasn't there a play that was similar to this when they played over in Germany in that football game where L'Jarius got a piece of him, too? I would have think that's when this happened.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm assuming it's this one because he said, you saw the play where I got slammed to the floor, and this is the one that really went viral.
Yeah.
When he did it in the playoff game. In Germany, if it happened, it didn't go viral. That's the one that went viral, and I got the sense that's the one he was talking about. My point is this, and this is where Mike McDaniel and Bill Belichick would have a true similarity. First meeting of training camp or first meeting of the offseason program, first play that you put up, that, and you rip Tyreek Hill a new one in front of everyone, like Belichick did multiple times with Tom Brady. Randy Moss has told the story of being freaked out in 07 when Belichick did it to Brady after whatever bad throw he made. The Johnny Foxborough could have made that throw from a playoff loss the year before. And Chad Johnson has said he was freaked out 2011 when he got traded there after the lockout. And they're ripping Tom Brady a new one right out of the gate. So we'll see if McDaniel does it to Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek gets it. He understands it. That's part of the game. You got to show there's no sacred cows so everyone will go do what's expected of them, or they're going to be held to accountability. If the best player is going to be accountable, everybody's accountable.
That's right. I mean, that's what the really good coaches do, right? They all have their own way of doing it, or, you know, diving into that situation. But accountability is, yeah, it's real. You look at all the great coaches in the history of football, right? That's, I think, something that you look at, kind of they had in common, right? Bill Walsh wasn't afraid to get on Joe Montana. Joe was kind of like, damn, Bill, I don't like you that much. Maybe you need to get the hell out of here. Jimmy Johnson was all over everybody in the Cowboys. We know that, right? I mean, my dad, as he always says, he didn't realize his name began with PH until after his career, because it was always, you know, effing Sims with the New York Giants and Parcells. So again, Harbaugh, do we think he's letting everybody have a free pass there in Baltimore? Absolutely not. McVay, no way. Shanahan, no way. Right. So, you know, it's cool to see that with McDaniels, that they're holding, you know, their star players accountable. It is what a good team does.
There's that gif of Phil approaching Parcells, and Parcells turns and
get the F out of here and go sit your ass down on the bench. That's what he said to him.
All right, let's take a break. You mentioned Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, man of his word. You can say what you will about Jim Harbaugh. He is a man of his word. We'll show you next here on PSN.
Right in the middle.
Michelle.
I can see once you get one, you might want to start adding.
There's Jim Harbaugh sporting the gun, sleeve rolled up.
Bam.
Nice gun for a 60-year-old. Gotten the Michigan tattoo. What happened on the way in, folks, just to peel back the curtain, we had the SOT, that's the industry term, of Jim Harbaugh, presumably vowing to get a tattoo if the Michigan Wolverines won the national championship, but the sound wasn't going out.
Right.
And Chris and I just assumed we couldn't hear it, but everybody else could. And then Chris said, are we going to hear anything here? Which told me he wasn't hearing it. I thought I just wasn't hearing it because, you know, that happens sometimes. So nobody was hearing it. Jim was writing the check in the sound you didn't hear. And then on the back end, it was Jim getting the tattoo.
Cashing the check.
With the M logo, 15-0, even though he wasn't there for, you know, some of the games. I don't know that 15-0 is really the number he should put on there.
You're
there
hilarious.
He is.
You're
holding
hilarious.
It together. It's painful. Well, wait, but he wasn't there for all the games.
Okay.
There he is.
He coached the team
together.
All week. I mean, he's still
trying,
like,
to look at it.
They followed his
trying
game
not to cry.
Plan.
But look at the intensity. And there it is. He's
like
flexing the muscle a little bit.
Right.
He knows the camera's on him, so he's flexing the muscle a little bit.
Got his dip
in. Pressing it up against
the
side.
He doesn't have to hide that anymore now that he's in the NFL. Yeah. He's like, screw it, I'm putting extra dip in. I don't have to worry about being
a role model, you know, once you get started, you want to add more to it. Maybe he wants to add a rose to it. And, you know, before you know it, he's going to have the Max Crosby tattoo shirt. That's the thing about it, though.
It can be addicting. It can.
It's like wearing the same shirt every day. You can never get away from it. You can't change it. That's one of the reasons why I've never gotten one. I don't know that there's anything I would want on my arm, on my butt, on my leg, on my forehead that I would want there the rest of my life. I mean, you are making, and I know you can get it removed, but I don't want to go through that process either. That's a hell of a commitment.
Yeah.
But I respect Jim Harbaugh. Save the left arm for the Lombardi Trophy, and the right arm is the Michigan arm.
The left arm
will be the Chargers.
Right
arm?
He didn't cop out. He didn't get on his butt or some, like, stupid place where nobody's ever going to see it. Right? He put it right there, front and center. His arms do look pretty good. They certainly would beat you. He'd beat you in an arm wrestling contest, that's for sure. But you could do tattoos. I mean, I got 3 tattoos. I'm not ashamed of them. I mean, one is with my family and my kids, one of my whole life.
You got to make a lifetime commitment with that tattoo. I have said in the past that I would get a Kirk Cousins tattoo if he wins Super Bowl MVP. That offer has been rescinded.
Oh, why?
That no longer applies.
Why?
You said,
well, that didn't. You didn't write that, lawyer. You didn't say that in a fine print. You didn't say you had to win it with the Vikings.
It's your fault, counselor. You'll look like
statute
you.
Limitations.
Let's go,
expired.
Falcons. You're going to get a damn Falcon on there with Kirk Cousins now. I think that should be the way it is.
I think I'm safe. I think I'm safe.
How dare you?
I think I'll be safe.
Did you see
that's
the
what
way
my wife says to me.
Ball?
It's like, hey, can I get a Vikings tattoo if the Vikings win the Super Bowl? She's like, sure, go ahead, because they won't. All right, let's take a break. More PFT Live right after this.
Have you watched Jaden Daniels highlights or Drake May or a lot of the quarterbacks that have been mentioned as potential for number two overall?
Heck no. I ain't got time to do the homework. That's not my job. Right? So I'll leave that to the administration to do that. Whoever we end up picking, if that's the route we just choose to go, then, you know, I'll do some homework then. But until they give me that person's name, I ain't even worried about it.
Austin Eckler on SiriusXM NFL Radio. How will he react? We'll find out to who the Commanders take. Today's draft, the draft picks who will get the biggest reactions when they're picked. Chris, you're up.
Well, I think it's somebody, you know, we talked about early on in this show, I think is going to elicit one of the biggest reactions of the draft. That's Drake May. I look at him to be the guy where it's going to be like, whoa, they did it. Right? Like, oh, you know, and half the draft community or most of the draft community likes him. There's certainly some out there that have questions like me, right? You know, I think there's fans that even see that too. So, yeah, Drake May, I think, is going to elicit a big reaction, positive and negative, for teams.
I'm going to be very specific on where this reaction will happen. The draft this year occurs in Detroit, home of the Lions, holding the first pick in the draft. The Chicago Bears, one of the mortal sworn enemies of the Lions. So when the commissioner walks out to announce the first pick and gets booed, because he always will get booed at the draft, and announces that Chicago Bears have taken Caleb Williams, there will be a very loud chorus of boos, because it's going to be a lot of Lions fans there who are pissed off. They're going to have to deal with Caleb Williams twice per year indefinitely.
Yeah, you're right about that. They are definitely going to hear that. So I like that. I like that right there. You're right. That's going to elicit certainly a pretty big reaction there in that part. All right, so the next one, I was along the same lines as you here. Now, he's not going to be there, but I do think what's going to get a big reaction is Marvin Harrison Jr. because of who he is, the name. We don't hear from him a lot. And it's Detroit, it's Michigan territory, and it's Ohio State guy, right? I was kind of like going to go that same route of like the booing.
He is going to be there.
Excuse me. Okay, good. All right, so that'll even be better because I'm sure there'll be a little bit of like, yeah, you know, people happy, but yet Lions and Michigan fans not liking him because he went to Ohio State. And I think we're all sitting here right now going, wait, is he definitely going to be the first guy off the board at receiver? I think that's one of the intriguing things about this.
Who I thought you were going to say when you prefaced it with he's not going to be there is J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, who knows? The Vikings trade up and take him. How are the Lions fans going to react to that? Michigan fan, Lions fan, pasted together, kind of happy, kind of pissed. So McCarthy will get a big reaction, even though he won't be there. We're going to take a break. One more round right after this. All right, final round of the draft picks who will get the biggest reaction when they are selected. Chris, round three, you are up.
Well, this is where I am going to go with Malik Nabers. I think Malik Nabers is going to, you know, elicit a big reaction. I do. I think he's the guy that, you know, again, you look at and teams are hearing about Marvin Harrison Jr. Sure, and fans are hearing about that too. But, like, I think also fans are hearing, whoa, Malik Nabers, a lot of people see special in him. They see somebody that's a game changer, a Jamar Chase, Odell Beckham Jr. type of talent there who can do everything. I think that's going to elicit a big reaction. Certainly with me, I'm hoping he's on the board with number six with the Giants and we get him, and I'll be running around my damn barn like a crazy man if we do. Yeah,
we.
The G-Man.
I'm focused very much on the location of the draft. I think when Blake Corum gets picked, whenever that might be, clearly it won't be round one. No running back is expected to go in round one. The Chargers and Jim Harbaugh are the betting favorites to get Corum eventually. If it's Corum, the local star, going to Jim Harbaugh and partnering up. Oh, boy, I think that's going to be a big reaction in Detroit on day two, maybe even day three.
Yeah, probably day three.
Day one of draft week is over. Chris Sims Unbuttoned coming up later today. We'll be updating everything in the NFL all day long at ProFootballTalk.com. Have a great Monday.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.